Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Jen, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to a beautiful Thursday. Today is November 12th. We're back with you. Hi, Jen.
Hi, Sam.
We have a full show. I guess we have a guest going to be calling in a few minutes. And let's see. Oh, we have people looking here already in the studio. We're going to have a great guest calling in later. We have some stuff to talk about, I guess, like the debate and stuff. We didn't get a chance to talk about it. I guess we can talk about your show yesterday, Jen.
Sure.
How was the show yesterday?
Obviously amazing.
Yeah, always amazing.
No,
right?
I mean,
if you do say so yourself.
Actually, my mom's friend who listens, Natalie, said it was amazing.
Really?
Yes.
Well, I think it was amazing too. I only got to listen to part of it, and even then in the background, but it sounded pretty good. So, what did you guys talk about?
We talked about the Great Love Debate, hosted by Brian Howie, and it's a traveling show that basically is like a town hall meeting with 100 single guys and 100 single girls, and they duke it out over the issues of being single and why people are.
Right. And that's one I went to. I went to a previous one, and we heard my story there, too. I was actually picked to be on the stage in a little match game, and nothing ever came out of it. But so you going to one?
Well, no, it was last night. And so,
it was last night.
Yeah, Lauren and I were going to go, but we have AfterBuzz on Wednesday nights, so we thought we could make it at least in time for the party, but unfortunately, we got out of AfterBuzz too late.
Oh, okay. Okay. So it was last night here,
yes.
Right? But they have it all over the country, too.
Yes.
Yeah. They started traveling around. I know it started, I think, in L.A., right?
I believe so. And there's been like 102 shows since.
Wow.
Yeah.
So they're like all over the place.
They're doing well. And then next year, they're going to travel to different countries.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow. That's pretty cool.
And so they have a podcast. And, you know, you can definitely use their information to the best of your ability because they have lots to offer.
Right.
So if you
can't
make
it, they see a lot of singles, so I guess they know, right?
Right, and they've heard it all. So
yeah.
Talk about like a lot of focus groups. You can listen to their podcast though if you can't make it to one of their shows. So it's on Podcast One, and it's called The Great Love Debate.
Is that what, like a recording of the thing or what?
No, it's like a podcast. They just sit and talk about stuff.
Okay,
and
so
they have guests on. And
oh, I see. Okay, because you said in case you missed the show.
Well, they talk about like very similar issues and things like that.
I see.
And I think probably recap what they've learned in their shows.
Mm.
Yeah.
Definitely, you guys should go if you're single and stuff and it comes into your town. The Love Debate, it's pretty cool. It lets some people discuss, I guess, single life and why people are still single and things like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, it's pretty relevant to single people. So you guys talk about that. You talked about relationships and everything.
Yeah.
Brian obviously knows a lot because he's seen it all.
Definitely.
Yeah. Pretty cool. What else did you guys talk about? I mean, was he on the whole show?
We always have our guests come in at 12:20. So our show starts at 12. Lauren and I usually talk about things going on in our lives. Then we talk about celebrity gossip. Then we talk about anything going on in technology as far as dating apps go and services that are provided that are new and whether we've used them or not. And then we have our guest on for the rest of the show.
Sounds cool. So now with the celebrity news, what did you guys talk about yesterday?
We talked about Blake Shelton on like what he thinks about women that play hard to get. And we talked about Gisele Bündchen when she started dating Tom Brady and he was going through baby mama drama with Bridget Moynihan.
Right.
And whether we would have stuck by him or not. And also what we think about preconceived notions. Like, let's say you're going to date a guy and one of your friends has gone on a date with him and, like, you know, does what that person have to say about that person tarnish what you think about them? Or should you even ask them? Should you let it affect anything? Or should you experience it on your own? And that kind of thing.
Yeah, that's interesting. You know, I mean, I never thought about that before. But yeah, I mean, that's a good question, you know. But I guess if it's your friend, you could trust their opinion.
Friends could also be crazy.
That's true. Or maybe they just didn't get along with that.
Maybe. You just don't know. That's the thing, is that your friend's also probably still single. So you have to, like, judge each, you know, person objectively and say, like, is this somebody that has a good track record? Do I trust what that person says? Are they of sound mind? You know, that kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true, I guess. Cool. And so I'm curious, anything new in technology that you guys covered?
Yeah, there's a company called The Breakup Shop where you can sort of enlist them to break up with somebody for you. They will, for like $15, they'll write a text message for you.
Really?
Yeah. For $20, they'll maybe make a phone call for you. Or, you know, $25, they'll send a letter for you. There's different services that they offer.
Now, is that clearly a third person? I mean, does the other person know it's somebody else doing it?
Yeah.
So it's not like just like they write what you should write.
No.
Wow. Now, why would people do that? I mean, isn't that crazy?
Fear.
Huh?
Fear.
Yeah, but I mean, but what do they think the other person's going to think?
Who knows? I don't think they're thinking that.
They maybe don't care, right?
Probably.
At that point, if they want to break up with them. But if they want to break up with them, what do you care about how they feel? You know, just tell them.
I think that's people crazy. Have a lot of fear of, like, you know, just saying something that might upset somebody else and then having to deal with the repercussions.
Right.
I mean, you likely have to deal with the repercussions anyway because that person still has your phone number.
Right.
But I don't know.
And they're going to say, you know, you had somebody else call me to break up with me? What kind of a thing is that?
I think it's probably a younger person's problem.
Mm.
They might do that.
Yeah.
Because they're not necessarily skilled in breaking up with people just yet.
Yeah.
I mean, it took me a while to be comfortable with it, and not that I am, but I have, like, what I said yesterday on the radio is that I have one message that I've crafted, and I just repurpose it for everybody I end things with.
Yeah.
Because it worked once. It's going to keep working.
That's true. Wow. Yeah, that's not a pleasant situation to have to break up with someone.
No, definitely not.
Yeah. Now, I mean, but at what point does it become a breakup? How many times do you guys have to see each other?
See, that's the thing. I don't know. I think more than twice. I think probably more than twice. Just because then you've got, like, a rapport going and, like, the person might think, like, oh, I'm going to see this person again. We like each other. Something like that where...
So you're invested in it a little bit.
A little bit. Like, you should at least respect the person and be like, listen, I think you're great. I don't want to see you anymore.
Right, yeah.
Like, I'm not there. Okay. I'm not into it.
But that's quite different from a breakup after you've been with someone for a few years.
Yeah, no, not a breakup. It's like a disassociation. I don't know what to call it. Like a clean break. It's not a breakup. And I also do hate when people, like, make it way more dramatic than it needs to be. Like, I have a girlfriend, or had a girlfriend, that, like, anytime she got a text from a person or, like, ended something with somebody, she called it a breakup. I'm like, you're not in a relationship. You can't call it a breakup.
Yeah, yeah.
You just can't.
Yeah, it's not quite the same when you break up with someone after 2 days.
Right.
But you call it, ghosting or something?
Yeah.
When you sort of disappear?
Yeah, well, that's, like, the new term.
Oh, so it's not your term.
No.
Oh, I thought you said...
No, I didn't make that up. That's a thing, though. I mean, it's like a real term that people use, and it's when somebody just goes, like... And the old term is radio silent.
Yeah.
So if somebody goes radio silent, they disappeared. They dropped off.
Right, yeah. I tend to do that a lot, you know, because it's like, you know, in today's world, why would you deal with... you know, I mean, but obviously that's only about after talking to someone a couple times. It's not like... you know, I mean, if I got involved with someone like 2-3 dates, I would not just disappear. You know, I mean, I would...
So what would you say to somebody if you were not interested?
I would just say, look, you know, I don't feel we're on the same page, or I don't feel this chemistry, you know, or maybe this is not working out. And that's it. You know, I mean, I would be pretty honest with them and just say, you know, I don't think there's a connection. So I don't think that's bad, you know. Now, after you've been with someone for a couple of years, I mean, that's a whole big thing.
Yeah.
You know, you can't just hire somebody for $15.
No, that's sad.
Yeah, that's why I was like, wondering. I didn't know that you meant something really short.
Well, no, I mean, it's for anything, really. It's for whatever you want to use it for. They also have like a breakup box, like, or like get over your ex box.
I like that. That's a good name. Wow. Yeah, there's a lot going on, man. A lot with these.
Well, that's why we like to inform our listeners about anything and everything to do with relationships and dating.
Right. Sounds cool.
Yeah.
Well, if you guys want to be informed about that, listen to It's Complicated with Jen and Lauren. Wednesdays at noon. And if you miss it, you can go on the website and listen to all the archives.
We've had 6 shows, so you can catch
already?
Up quickly. Yeah.
Wow. Does it seem like 4 to me? It always like
well,
time
because
flies,
you send us the information for October, so it probably felt like only 4. But we did pretty well for having only 4. I mean, in the month of October.
You did amazingly well.
Thanks.
You did amazingly
We're pretty proud
well.
Of it.
Yeah.
So thanks to everybody for listening.
Yeah. You gotta, and it's probably only going to get better as more people know about you.
Totally. And we're on iTunes, so now everyone can reach us from everywhere.
Exactly. Exactly. Don't miss out on that. This is a classic.
Thanks.
It's going to be a big deal one day.
Thank you. We have some good guests lined up, so we hope that you guys definitely keep it like listening and
sounds
don't
good.
Miss it.
Yeah, it's a nice show to listen to midday, not too heavy and fun, you know. I mean, that's the thing. It's not so much, you know, one thing I realized, it's not so much what you talk about as it is about the personalities, you know, of the hosts. And when there's good personalities or entertaining personalities, then the show is entertaining.
Yeah.
You know, and conversely, if you can talk about the most amazing thing, but if you're not excited about it, if you're not passionate about it, then it comes across and people realize that and they get alienated from it. So, yeah. So that's what happens there. I went to see a couple of, I went to see one movie and then I watched one on video. And that's a big accomplishment for me to see 2 movies in 1 week.
That is.
So we went to see Bridge of Spies yesterday because I really wanted to see it. I mean, I looked forward to it. The trailer was amazing. And it's a Steven Spielberg movie with Tom Hanks. And you know what? It started off great, you know, like a thriller and stuff. You've seen the spy in action, blah, 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 this Russian spy. But then, you know, I don't know, man. First of all, the movie was too long for this kind of a film because there's a lot of talking. It's a drama. There's some courtroom thing going on. So it's not like a James Bond movie where it keeps you on, you know, on the edge of your seat for 2 hours. Mm-hmm. So it was good. But you know what? It's one of their lesser movies, I feel. There wasn't much. I mean, it was based on a true story. And that's fine, but I don't think it was that exciting, you know. And it was pretty much predictable as to what's going to happen. So, I don't know. I would recommend people wait for video on that. But, and you know, I like stuff like that, the Cold War and spies and things like that. But it wasn't what I expected at all. And it just goes to show you once again that in every trailer, they take all the action, put it in 2 minutes or 30 seconds or whatever, and you think, wow, this movie's like full of action. But that's not the case. So anyway, here comes our guest. So let's go ahead and bring him in. Good morning. Is this Bob Gunn?
This is.
Good morning,
Good
Bob.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to the show. This is Sam and Jen. And thank you for calling in. Where are you calling us from this morning, Bob?
Beautiful Orange County.
Orange County. Where specifically in Orange County? Which of the towns there?
Aliso Viejo.
Oh, wow.
Over just outside of Laguna Beach.
Yeah.
Nice.
Beautiful. You sure know how to live.
And where are you guys at?
We're in Sherman Oaks, which is just north of L.A. If you know where Universal Studios is, we're pretty close. Ah. Yeah. So Orange County is beautiful. Is that where you grew up, or did you move from somewhere else?
I actually grew up in L.A. I lived kind of all over. I grew up in Culver City, then went to college out east of Pasadena, but then back to Glendale and Sherman Oaks and Studio City. I was kind of all over.
Yeah, so you moved around the lake quite a bit and ended up in Orange County.
and ended up, yes, like some people do, ended up down in Orange County.
Very cool. So
I love Los Angeles, but and I missed the restaurants for sure.
Really?
Don't you have good restaurants down there?
Restaurants like this down in Orange County.
Oh, really? Well, I would imagine, Jen, that in L.A., which is so big, we would have a lot of restaurants compared to anywhere else, really. I mean, you know, we've got just about everything you want. But
right.
But Orange County is a place to go to and live, I think, quietly and peacefully, wouldn't you say?
Or is this we kind of have that reputation.
Yeah, exactly. That's a stereotype, right?
There are some wild sides of Orange County, though. You just have to know where to find them.
Yeah, I guess. Well, so, Bob, you're part of Men Alive. And tell us a little bit about this. It says Orange County's Gay Men's Chorus. So tell us a little bit about that. That sounds interesting.
Right. Well, we are one of those wild parts of Orange County, the Orange County Gay Men's Chorus, Men Alive. I am the artistic director. And we started back in 2001 with 13 guys on our first night of rehearsal and did our first show with, I think, finally about 24 guys.
Uh-huh.
And now we have over 120 singers, dancers, musicians, volunteers that help us put on 3 concerts a year down at the Barclay Theater on the University, UCI, the University of California at Irvine.
At Irvine, right. So is that how many people get on stage at the same time?
We have about 100 singers, and we've got a dance troupe of about 12 guys, and then the musicians and a core of volunteers that do work behind the scenes. And yeah, it's a great organization. I love being a part of it.
Yeah. Now that's a great task. I mean, to get everybody to sing on tune and in sync and everything would be
that many people. That's a lot. Big undertaking, I'm sure.
It's like herding cats, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Yes, trying to get everybody on the same page. But we've grown a lot as a group. We're basically like a community chorus, guys that are in the area that are interested in singing and just happen to be gay. Invited to audition and take part, and we've had some great experiences. We just recently opened for a sold-out concert at the Hollywood Bowl at the end of September, and that was a fantastic experience. And we've performed with some kind of top-drawer entertainers like Bernadette Peters and Michael Feinstein and Nikki Blonsky from the movie Hairspray and Liza Minnelli, which is every gay man's dream. So,
and didn't you guys sing music from Elton John?
And our last show at the summer, our summer concert was the music of Elton John, yeah. And we did some of that at the Hollywood Bowl.
Wow. You see, now, really that'd fun. Be fascinating for me to hear 100 people singing like an Elton John song, you know. I mean, I bet you it's like pretty powerful. I mean, that's a lot of voices.
It can be, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. So now, you said you're the artistic director. What specifically do you do?
Well, I run the group. So I work with a great team that help us come up with concert ideas and repertoire, and then I'm kind of responsible for making it happen, I guess, making the guys sound the best that we can, and making sure that it's a fun show to watch and to listen to as well.
Yeah.
I started out actually playing piano for the group when it first started, and so I've been with the group from the very beginning. And just last year took over as the artistic director / conductor, I guess. And I'm having a great time.
Sounds good. I would too.
Yeah. Sounds like a party each time.
Yeah. So now
it can be a party, definitely.
Yeah. So, I mean, you must have been musical before, right? What did you do musically before you joined the group?
Yes, I've worked as a musician all my life. I started as a pianist, as a keyboard player, and have done all manners of things. I traveled for a couple of years with different groups and working as a musical director, and did a fair amount of church work, you know, here and there. I'm still involved in a church down in Laguna Beach. And so, yes, music. My mom was a singer, and I am the first born in my family. So when my brothers came along, my mom discovered that she could sit me at the piano, uh-huh. and I would entertain myself while she took care of the, my brothers. And, well, and then I kind of just got stuck on the piano. Piano was my friend growing up, and that kind of just led into singing in choirs and playing piano through high school, and then finally to college and majoring in music, and then going from there. So it's been a great kind of journey for me, just getting to do what I love to do, which is to create music. And to get enough money to pay bills is a cherry on top of that. So it's all pretty great.
Yeah, that's cool. So you managed to make a living out of this and doing what you love, which is amazing. I think that's what everybody would like to do, So you're in a nice place in your life. We're talking to Bob Gunn. The website is Men Alive, and the website itself is menalivechorus.org.
Is that where we can hear samples of your work?
Honestly, I'm not sure if we have some. I have some clips. You can definitely do a search on YouTube. And find some Men Alive, one word, Men Alive, songs that we've put up on YouTube.
Yeah. Well, I wish we'd planned this in advance, because I'd really like to know what it sounds like when so many people sing,
So. Well, you'll have to come to one of our shows. You're not that far away.
Yeah, that's true. But for people who can't make it this far, I'd like to be able to have them listen. So you guys can go on YouTube, search for Men Alive, one word. And I'm planning to do that after the show, because I'm really fascinated by this. I love music as well, but I've never heard a chorus that large before.
Mm. Yeah. Well, there's the tradition of gay men's choruses goes back about 30 plus years, and started in San Francisco and New York. And Los Angeles as well has a very fine chorus that is much bigger than we are, and fantastic. And that would be much closer for you to go get a check out and see kind of what our gay choruses are doing these days. But can I talk a little bit about our upcoming show?
Of course. That was the next question, so go ahead.
Excellent. Reading your mind. Our holiday show, it's called It's a Wonderful Christmas Carol, and it's kind of a mashup of It's a Wonderful Life and A Christmas Carol. So we have our kind of curmudgeon, who's a mixture of George Bailey from It's a Wonderful Life and Scrooge from The Christmas Carol. And we kind of imagine what life would be like without the annual Men Alive Christmas show. And and our Scrooge character helps us rediscover the joy and wonder of the holiday season. And we're led through that with we have got three Christmas carols, Carol Brady, Carol Burnett, and Carol Channing.
Wow, those are some carols.
To kind of take us through the joy of Christmas song and Christmas whimsy, and then Christmas joy finally, and then we of course have our big redemption moment with Scrooge, and we've got a whole cast of characters, including some singing Bradys and a Kabuki Santa and some reindeer, and even some men in tutus. It should be a very fun show.
Yeah,
and it's December 4th and 5th. So Friday and Saturday at the Barclay Theater at UCI. And tickets are available at menlifechorus.org or OCGMC.org, which is the Orange County Gay Men's Chorus, OCGMC.org.
Right. So the event is It's a Wonderful Christmas Carol. And like you said, December 4th and 5th. I see there's two shows on the 5th. And
right.
Yeah, so this is at UC Irvine. If you happen to be in Southern California, that would be awesome.
Sounds like a great show.
It really does, you know, and it's different, you know. It's not like your usual concerts and or plays or things like that. It seems more like something more original, you know. So it sounds
well. Please, if you're able to come, we'd love to invite you to be our guests at the show. So
yeah,
if we're able to make it, let us know, and we'll have some tickets for you.
We definitely will. And if you guys want to find out more about it and buy tickets online, go to menalivechorus.org. Go under concerts. You'll be able to find all the information there. And I wanted to ask you, so that UC Irvine, is that your like only venue? Is that the only place, like, is that your home?
It has been our home of late. We've discovered that seems to work best for the type of shows that we do, which are not only, you know, a choral production, but also you know, more theater, especially with this show that we're doing with sets and we need fly space and a traditional curtain coming up. So that theater, that venue has been awesome for us. We have done concerts at the Orange County Performing Arts Center, and there's an awesome theater at a university here in Aliso Viejo called Soca University, which has a brand new concert hall that is fantastic. And we did a more concert oriented, you know, traditional straight up singing concert, in that venue, which was also, really pretty spectacular. The Barclay Theater has, you know, there's restaurants close by, so our folks can get some food before the concert, and the university is right there as well, so it's kind of a little hub in Irvine.
Sounds
which works
great.
Well for us.
Well, definitely something to do for the holidays, for Christmas. Check it all out. You know, I mean, obviously you guys still observe Christmas as opposed to a lot of people who think it's offensive. So, you know, like in Starbucks cups and things like that, right? So
yes, traditional nonsense.
I know, And you guys really take advantage of the holiday, and it's an amazing thing. So everybody check it out. Bob Gunn, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Sam and Jen. Appreciate the time.
Thank you. Yes. I definitely want to come on December 5th.
Excellent.
we'll contact you.
I will send you a follow-up. Or how can I?
We'll contact you.
Yeah, we'll contact you.
Great. Perfect.
Okay, Bob, thank you so much for calling. Much success to you. Continued success with this. And of course, and all the best to you. Happy holidays.
Thanks so much. And to you, yes.
Thank you.
All right, have a great rest of your morning.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
You know, the amazing things that people do, you know. It's just, I'm really curious to hear, because I'm really into music. I love singing and stuff. And to hear 100 people singing at the same time.
You're really into that whole 100 people thing.
I am, because it's a lot of voices. Jen,
it is,
you know?
A lot. The energy in the room is probably amazing.
Yeah. I mean, think of like courses that you have like a church and stuff like that, you know, where they maybe have 20, 30 people.
I'm Jewish.
And it sounds, well, okay, but you know what's going on, right? You know there are choirs in church.
That exist, yes.
Okay. But what I'm saying
is, I've been to concerts before, though, and not that they've had 100 like people singing, it's just it's been powerful.
Yeah.
And usually, like, you know, a combination of singers. Actually, I've been to like ballets and symphonies and things like that where I've heard a lot of people participate. So yeah, between the instruments and the singers, I think I've probably seen it once or twice in my life, but it would be nice to see it for Christmas.
Yeah, I guess.
My favorite.
Yeah, and Carol Burnett. And
definitely dragging somebody with me to that. I don't care if they want to go or not.
Wow. So, I mean, the thing I brought up with Christmas is this whole thing with the Starbucks cups and...
Yeah, what
and,
were you saying know, about people, it being offensive?
Yeah, because what happens is that Starbucks decided to take out the symbols of Christmas because some people are offended that we call it Christmas and, you know, that that it sort of like excludes people who are not Christian or something, you know. And I think that was the excuse that Starbucks gave, and then people are starting with like, you know, like people that want Christmas and for us to observe it and stuff are up in arms about it, and everybody's like, who cares? Who cares, you know? But like Trump, for example, says, you know, we'll call it Christmas if I'm president, you know. So, look, it's a holiday. It's Christian. It's a Christian holiday, and
I think it's less though, like in terms of Starbucks, that it's Christmas because. Here's the thing. You're not asking for a Christmas cup when you're getting a coffee. They just give you whatever they make for the time period. So I think to make it more neutral, they do like what the red and like red or green or red, just red cups. And that's like the holiday spirit. Because they're not going to ask you, do you want like a Christmas cup or not? That's their one cup for the holidays.
Right.
So they had to make it more neutral, I think, not to alienate people that don't celebrate Christmas, which I understand. It's a business. And so, like, they have to include everybody. Be different if they're like, okay, which color cup do you want? The blue one or the red one? And then you can choose. But they don't. They have one cup.
Right. Okay. But I mean, if they want to give the feel of a holiday or something, why should people, like, take offense in that? Why would people not be okay with the cups when they have Christmas symbols on it? I mean, it's known that this season, this Christmas, other religions try or they observe their holidays in similar times. But we all know it's a predominantly Christian country here. And, you know, it's a holiday. It's a religious holiday for many people. I'm Jewish. I don't celebrate Christmas, but I love the holiday season. And I appreciate that people celebrate.
And that's lovely. But does my coffee have to celebrate Christmas?
No, your coffee doesn't have to. But you can also choose not to buy it there.
But that's, you know, the thing is, the whole point is that does Starbucks want to lose customers because they want to celebrate the holidays? No. So instead of alienating people, they're making it more neutral for the holiday season, which people associate red with, yeah, Christmas, but also presents, holidays. Like, let's say I'm a mom and I have a kid and we're Jewish and I go get my coffee from Starbucks and my coffee cup has Christmas all over it.
Right.
And the kid's like, what the hell is that? And I'm like, oh, it's a holiday. You don't celebrate, small child. Like, sorry, my coffee's Christmas, but you don't get to celebrate Christmas.
So the only thing they're going to see is the cup. What about all the other decorations? They go to the mall. They see
all this
stuff. And
that's fine. But like,
but it's happened for years and Jewish kids don't really care.
But
a
brand doesn't have to pick a holiday versus another holiday. They can be more neutral. You know, does Starbucks have to be a Christian company? I don't know that they are. So to alienate people, I don't think makes sense. I think they're smart by just making it a solid color.
Okay. I don't think it alienates people, but if people, it's just more of this politically correct thing. I don't know. I mean, we're losing our identity, I think.
I don't know that it's politically correct when it's like saying we're going to just open it up so it's more like for everybody.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I don't have to impose my Christmas love on you, like, just because I love Christmas. Like, am I going to take somebody that doesn't love Christmas to the Christmas Carol? No.
Yeah, but the whole thing I'm saying, you're not imposing. Nobody's imposing.
Yeah, if I'm selling you a coffee and the only choice you get is this cup with Christmas on it, yeah, it's imposing Christmas on somebody.
Okay. And what about the rest of the companies that feature holiday stuff? Should they all stop?
No, I think that it's up to them, and if they want to alienate people, that's a business choice on their part.
Right. So you're saying all these years it's always alienated people or only now?
I would guess it probably has in the past. I mean, I'm not looking at their records and their sales, but... Right.
No, not Starbucks, but in general.
In other companies, probably. I think that's why a lot of companies like in their stores have both... like a menorah and Christmas decorations, or they have like a neutral color like white, so it's like winter instead of like related to one particular holiday versus another.
Right.
I just think it's a business choice.
Yeah, it's still predominantly Christmas though, and I know a lot of Jewish people that like the Christmas season.
And I know a lot of Jewish people that don't season. And think that my family was, you know, sacrilegious for celebrating Christmas.
Yeah. No, that's true, you know, but the thing is that Jews don't have to celebrate it. They have their own holidays. And
which is why should they buy a coffee with a Christmas on it?
Because that happens to be the design, you know? I mean, what can I say? I mean, those Christmas, they're not even Jewish.
I have to say, if this was a debate, I would have won.
I don't think so. Yeah. I don't know. But I got to tell you, those are not really religious symbols on
but
there.
But to some people, that right? is. Like the whole Christmas thing, to me, is a Hallmark holiday. Mm. But to other people, it's religion, and it's Jesus, and it's Jesus' birth, and it's the manger, and the three wise, what are they, the three wise men? Or it's a whole slew of religious connotation because it's a religious holiday.
Right.
Now it's more Hallmarky, and it's more Americanized, and everybody celebrates it if they want to. But for some people, it's a real religious thing.
Okay. I'm just trying to think of what decorations they had or symbols they had on the cups. And I would imagine maybe a star, you know, that goes on, I don't know, star, gifts, candy canes, things like that. I mean, these are not really religious things.
No, but I mean, that's, you know, that's fine if that's what was on there. But if that wasn't what was on there,
I don't think they
story.
Had a baby Jesus on there.
I would
really
guess
don't.
They probably didn't. But whatever they had, you know, more resembled Christmas than it did just the holiday season.
Right. Okay. Well, so we both have strong points. We'll agree to disagree.
Right.
Okay. That's what radio is for, man. If we agreed on everything, it would be interesting. So that was my review on Bridge of Spies. And the other movie I saw, well, I will admit I haven't finished it yet because I watch videos in parts. But The Silver Lining Playbook.
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen it?
Yep.
It's pretty good, huh?
I liked it. I didn't love it.
No?
I wasn't that into it like people were when it first came out and like Oscar buzz and all that.
Yeah. I think the acting did deserve Oscar. Did anyone win from that movie?
I don't think so.
No, huh? But there were nominations, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty good movie. I mean, you get to see somebody who's torn by bipolar disorder and how it can affect everybody, you know, around you.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I never knew what it was about. I just thought, I looked at it, I thought, yeah, I remember it being like, you know, a big deal and stuff. People liked it, so even if I watch it 2 years later, you know.
At least you're watching it. You know, there's actually a new show on, I think it's Netflix, called The Man in the Castle. Have you heard of this?
No.
So it's about, it's interesting. I don't know if your dad would want to watch this or if you are interested in this kind of thing, but it's about, it's based on a book that is assuming an alternate ending to the war, which, like World War II. So it's essentially saying that current day, right now, our country, the United States, is actually run by Japanese and also German, you know, countries. So that half the country is split and the other half the country is split. And there's an internal war, like a civil war between those two governing powers and what that world would look like if they were still in charge, if they actually had won the war and they had taken over our country. And like it shows like Times Square with a swastika on one of the like marquees and like in the middle of Times Square and what life would look like.
Yeah.
So it's a really interesting show. I mean,
it is.
I think people should check it out because it's an interesting take on that, especially with like people thinking like the Holocaust never happened and things like that. Like, okay, maybe you should watch this show too.
Right. And to those of you who don't know, who wish that the United States would stay out of everything, if we hadn't gotten involved, that very well may have happened.
Yes.
You know, that and Churchill, you know, it was a perfect, perfect storm, perfect combination to stop that madness. But yeah, it sounds pretty good. So it's called The Man in the Castle?
Yes.
Okay. I'll check it out. When does it start?
It already started.
Oh, it started already?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, maybe that's a show
worth investing in. I think there's like six episodes.
Okay, well, that's a show maybe worth investing in. And so those are the two movies, I guess. Did you get to see any of the debate, Jen?
No, I wasn't home and I didn't record it.
I know. I didn't watch it either. In fact, not as many highlights either. But there were some interesting things there. I guess, you know, they talked more about the economy and minimum wage and whether you agree or not. At least it was a good debate, I think. And, you know, Trump is like sort of like calming down a little bit, but he's still, I mean, like today he's talking about Hillary's new massive hairdo, whatever that means. It doesn't look massive to me if I'm look, you know, but then again, what do I know? But it's like, you know, you want to be taken seriously. You're leading in the polls. You've convinced people that you have the ability to lead. why do you still need to get all that attention from these stupid things that you're saying? I don't understand. I mean, it's just like like we've talked about before, you got to act presidential, even if you're not, you know, but.
Right. Like, you can't get involved in, like, gossip. Like, I mean, you can say what you want about President Obama, but he was a stand-up guy during this process.
I don't remember much about him running, but.
Well, he was eloquent. Yeah. He didn't really become subject to this tit for tat that Trump like inspires in everybody.
Right.
Talking about Fiorina's face and now Hillary's hair and.
Right. It's totally like irrelevant. Irrelevant right. to everything that's going on. Yeah. But, you know, I guess that's Trump. He's reminding us who he is.
And I hope, though, that people prioritize, like, you know, what's important in running a country. Is it right. somebody that, you know, claims to be a truth teller yet behaves like this? It's embarrassing. I wouldn't even be friends with a person that acted like he is. He's like a 12-year-old boy just running his mouth and doesn't care. And he doesn't, because he's older, he doesn't get grounded. But why would we vote him as president?
Yeah. Well, I
he's
going
to get in a war with a country just because he's like, oh, that guy's hairdo that runs, you know, Korea, or that guy's facial hair is silly, and then bombs will go off. Who needs that? Not me.
Yeah.
I need a president I can trust, not somebody that is inconsistent and crazy.
Exactly. Someone who will protect me. Yeah. Well, we'll see what happens, you know. I mean, I happen to, and Rubio is going up in the polls.
Good.
You know, which it is a good thing.
I'm into him. I don't care if people are mad at him for not doing his job in the Senate. Like, okay, great, he's running for president.
Who cares, you know? Yeah, he is running. And just like after the second debate where I felt that he really made some strong points, I guess maybe more people are realizing that he actually talks about the issues, you know. He doesn't get into this Trump bullshit, you know.
Right.
He just, like, he focuses, he's serious about it, and you can tell he really wants to win, you know.
Good. Somebody should be trying really hard.
Yeah.
And saying things that matter.
Right.
I wish that I had seen the debate, though, because I want to know what came of Ben Carson's reputation.
Yeah. Well, you know, Ben Carson is sort of like didn't shine in this. I mean, I don't recall any of the highlights that involved him, really. So
I hope that he answered this whole story about his past and what is true and not true, though. So obviously I need to do some more reading on that.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, he came out with a book that I wanted to read, but it's all about, the entire book is really defining the Constitution. And I don't know that I want to read that. I want to know more about what he plans to do. Donald Trump just came out with a new book, and I don't know if I want to read that. I mean, I read his earlier one from a few years ago, but maybe I should, just to see what the hell he's talking about, you know.
Here's the thing. He can write a book all he wants. He could also have a ghostwriter. He could also have an editor. But I want to hear what he actually has to say out loud. Right. What are his own thoughts?
Right. So, so, I mean, that's what the debate is for, you know.
And every time he talks about real issues, he doesn't have, you know, any kind of plans or details behind any of it.
Mm. Well, not every time. I think he does, you know. If you pay close attention, he does have some specifics about things.
Fine, but what stands out to me is when he says, I would have good relationships with other world leaders. And it's like, well, why? And he's like, because I would get along with them. Yeah. But why and how?
Right.
How would you do that?
Yeah.
Why would they like you of all people?
No, in fact, a lot of people probably won't like him.
Right. So I'm curious as to statements like that. Like, okay, what is the, you know, the background behind that?
Well, let's say that's his plan. I don't know. I mean,
that's great.
That's what politicians do. You know, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that.
I would be more interested in seeing like a business plan from each of these, like as far as how they're going to take care of the country.
Yeah. Yeah.
Show me that. Less talk. More planning.
Yeah. Well, maybe that's why you should read those books, you know, and see what they have in mind, you know. If we don't get a chance to listen to the debates, we can find out what, because all of them have books out. So, you know, you can check that out. But, Yeah. You know what? Something that's totally irrelevant about Ben Carson, but did you notice that his voice is just like Kevin Costner's?
No.
You haven't noticed that?
No.
It's funny because every time I hear him and I'm not watching the TV, I'm just hearing it, I'm like, he sounds just like Kevin Costner. So next time he talks, pay attention to that. You'll see.
I will.
Because I have an ear for those things, you know. That's funny. But yeah, I don't know about him, man. I don't. Let's see. There's finally, we can talk about this. I guess this billionaire bought the most expensive diamond in the world, for his 7-year-old daughter. The diamond is 12 carats. It's an exceptionally fancy, vivid blue. If you can imagine, I mean, it's a beautiful picture, beautiful diamond. $48 million.
That's insane.
For a diamond ring. I mean, come on. So
I wouldn't turn it away if somebody wanted to give it to me.
Yeah, yeah. But so you may wonder where this person's from, having so much money. They're saying he's from Hong Kong, but they're not identifying him. Nevertheless, he gave the diamond the name of his daughter, calling it Blue Moon of Josephine.
Cute.
Yeah. So it's not one of the most expensive, but it is the most expensive diamond in the world. Almost $50 million.
Yeah, that sounds expensive.
Yeah. Why anybody would do that, I have no idea. But I guess when you're a billionaire, that's what they call conspicuous consumption.
Sign me up. I'll take that diamond off your hands if you need me to. Yeah. I wonder how much it weighs. Like, if you, like, put it on your hand, like, do you have to hold your hand up with, like, another hand? Like, how heavy is it?
No, it shows it's about as big as maybe a marble or something.
You That's know, it?
Maybe a large marble. Yeah, because you can see him holding it on a ring. Yeah.
Well,
so
in my head, it's, like, so heavy that you need, like, somebody to help you carry it.
Yeah.
You need but to hire a person it. Just to, like, walk behind you.
But it is 12 carats. I mean, it's not like it's 100 carats.
I think Kim Kardashian's ring is 12 carats.
Really?
Yeah. Then I don't think it was $48 million.
Yeah.
But also, different diamonds have different values because they're cut differently.
Right,
so
exactly.
Their quality is different.
Yeah, and I guess the purity and everything.
But speaking of China, yesterday was Singles Day.
In China?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. It's all over the news.
Wow.
Do you know what Singles Day is?
I can extrapolate from the name, but tell me.
So it's a day that they celebrate single people, and it's a shopping day. It's like an annual shopping day. People spend tons and tons of money in China. So apparently it was like the most successful one ever, and like the economy was booming yesterday. But
so they're spending what, like in gifts to the other
I don't know. People just shop. It's like our Black Friday, but there it's called Singles Day, and it's for single people.
Oh, wow. Sounds interesting. Well, that's good. I wonder what relationships are like in China, you know, because the society is so diverse there that, I don't know, sometimes you think of those farmers or those peasants, and then sometimes you think of all these really rich business people, and you wonder, you know, and I'm really curious about that culture, although, like I said, I'm not crazy about going to China, but check out Japan, although they would probably say it's a heresy to compare them, but to us from here, they're pretty close in proximity, language, customs, things like that. But I don't know. So Japan is a more attractive place for me, but China would probably be more adventures.
I definitely want to go to Japan.
Yeah, Japan sounds amazing. And I've never been to the Far East. I've been to Europe and Africa, but not to the Far East. All right, well, folks, that's it for today. Thank you for joining us, and we'll see you tomorrow.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Jen, right here on LA Talk Radio.